friends, this is Christine Hoover from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith podcast, where each week this season I'm talking with a guest about the ins and outs of friendship. As I wrote about in my book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, friendship isn't easy for anyone. It takes time, intentionality, and lots of grace. And sometimes we have to navigate complexities and hurts in friendship that leave us uncertain and sometimes crushed. I'm right there with you, and my guests are here to help us think through it all. Friends, I'm super excited to share today's episode with you. But before we get to the show, I want you to know that I'll be closing this season on friendship in December with an Ask Me Anything episode. My longtime friend Joe, whom I've known for 30 plus years, is going to join me to help me tackle as many of your questions as we can fit into an episode. So submit yours today at the link in my show notes. Simply scroll down to the details under today's episode on your phone and you'll find that link. My guest today on the show is Shauna Pilgreen. I've known Shauna for many years. Our husbands used to do college ministry at big state schools, and so Shauna and I would join them each year for a small college ministry conference. As soon as I met Shauna, I really connected with her. We have similar hearts and passions and even similar ministry journeys, which you'll hear about in our conversation today. Shauna and her husband Ben planted a church in San Francisco about 7 years ago. I've seen firsthand how she loves the people in her city well, and I'm beyond thrilled that she has written a new book called Love Where You Live, Living Sent in the Place You Call Home. This book will help us think through how we as Christians can love and befriend people who aren't Christians. I asked her actually to come on the show to talk about this very thing, and Shauna gives such great tips on how we can turn conversations toward deeper things and how we can overcome our own self-made barriers to sharing Christ with our neighbors. I love when she says that loving our neighbors isn't a monologue, it's a puzzle we're putting together for them. You'll see what she means by that as you listen. So friends, here is my conversation with Shauna Pilgreen. I'm so glad to welcome Shauna Pilgreen to my podcast today. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, Christine.
I'm so glad to have you here. One, because you're my friend. And two, because of the topic, which we'll get to in a second. But will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing?
Absolutely. Christine, it is so fun to call you my friend for, I don't know. You know, our paths crossed when we were doing college ministry, when our oldest were babies.
Yeah.
And then our paths crossed again with church planting.
Yeah.
And that was probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am a 40-year-old woman now, and I'm a San Francisco dweller. You know, I just think for people who can't see us having the conversation,
yeah,
kind of give them some background. I have Southern roots. So I grew up in Georgia. I've been married to Ben for almost 17 years now. And I don't know, something about marriage, it is just growing sweeter and deeper every day. And I attribute that to two things. One, we've learned to laugh a whole lot more and give grace a whole lot more than when we did when we first started. We have four kids between the ages of 14 and 10, three biological boys, and then our adopted daughter from India. And then we moved to San Francisco almost 8 years ago from the Midwest to plant Epic Church. And we moved out here with a team of 13, five of which were kids. And our church went from meeting in our apartment to the W Hotel to a basement space for 3 years, and then to our current space that we have 24/7 with a 10-year lease. It's still a basement, but it's a very cool basement.
Does it have windows?
It has one giant window when you walk in. That's where the sunlight comes in. Yes, it is bright when you walk in.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, it's on Market Street for those of you who have ever been to San Francisco.
And we got to come to San Francisco, I think it was 5 years ago now, when we actually took a little sabbatical and we stayed in y'all's house while you were on vacation, or you were somewhere else. I can't remember where you were.
I know. I was trying to figure that out the other day. I know it was the summertime. Yes. So we were out somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah. We were so glad to share our house with you.
It was fun because you have, as you said, three boys and I have three boys. And so they moved into a house that had Legos galore, lightsabers, you know, all the fun boy things. They thought it was the best.
Thanks. You know, yes, far better than a hotel.
Yeah. So then we got to go to your church when you guys came back in town. We moved out of your house. We were not sold there. And we got to go to Epic. And it was so fun to see y'all in your context and to see your church and to walk in your city and to talk to you about what it is like to do ministry in the middle of San Francisco. And I just love what y'all are doing. I love who you are. I love that God called y'all there and that He is building up a church around you in San Francisco. It's so fun.
It's incredible. It's incredible to be a part of. Yeah. Not at all what we originally envisioned, but far exceeding our expectations.
Yeah. That's how I feel about church planning in general. It is, I always tell people, it is the hardest thing I've ever done, but it is also the best thing that I've
absolutely
ever done. Because absolutely. I just got to go along on a ride with God. Like, of course we did a lot of work, but now where we are 10 years later, I just think, did we really do anything? I mean, we did, but it was God's invitation to join Him and to see Him at work, really.
Yes. And you know, 8 years in, there's parts of it that Ben and I miss at the beginning.
Yes.
Like looking back, those days where we literally did not know what was going to happen the next hour or who, if anyone was going to show up that Sunday. Like now we're not wondering that on Saturday nights, but I remember those days of wondering that and just those days of just sweetness with God, of just complete dependency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really. I agree with you. I miss parts of it too.
Yes.
I don't miss some parts though.
I agree. I know. Well, it's nice to be in our space full time right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited for you too, because we've also shared in the writing dream.
That's true.
And you have just written your first book. It's not out yet, but it's coming out and I got to read it and it's really good. It's called Love Where You Live, How to Live Sent in the Place You Call Home. I love that. And I think I'm excited for you that you're publishing a book, but also I'm excited because you are a walking embodiment of this book. Living, loving where you live, embracing where you live, and also living with this idea that I'm sent out into my community. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. But first I want to hear about the book and why did you write it?
You know, I remember the first place we lived in the city. This was house number one. You came to visit house number two. We're now living in house number three. But I remember being in house number one and you and I having conversations when you were writing The Church Planter's Wife and you interviewing me for that book. And all that to say, you've taught me so much, whether it's college ministry or church planting or writing. It's just so good to have a friend.
In the same boat.
In the same boat, absolutely. And then raising boys at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, even then, God was writing this story all along. It's just now I'm at the place of getting to put it to paper and with a publisher. But so much of the book is my journey from childhood of growing up in the South and learning from my mom particularly that we're going to love every single person around us and continuing to do that in every place we've moved along the way. But so much of the book is what I'm learning and what I have learned in the past 7 years living in the city, where I now feel more like a minority than the majority. And it's not because of color or race or social status, but it's because of my belief in the one true God. And I share my story, but there are dozens of stories in this book of people who are learning to do that right here alongside me, but then people I've met all along my journey, even around the world, that are learning to do this where they live.
So what do you hope people will walk away from reading this book?
My hope, and of course this book is written for the church, but it's that Christians would love their cities because Christ has a purpose for us being there, and it's to love the people around us so that they would respond to Christ's love. Because I write this from the belief that every single moment, every encounter we have, every conversation, whether it was intentional or unintentional, every location, it is an opportunity for God to use us to continue what He's already started. Because we weren't the first ones to San Francisco. You weren't the first ones to Charlottesville.
Right.
So it's joining in the people who have gone before us to continue to plant and water those seeds.
That's great. Well, I can't wait for everybody to read it. It doesn't come out until March.
Correct.
So hopefully I can link, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to link to the pre-order on Amazon or wherever books are sold, so you can see this book. And I really encourage anybody to read it. It's not just for people who are new to a community. Mm-mm. It encouraged me 10 years into a community, but it also, it really is good as well for people who are brand new to their communities and church planting. It's great for those people. It's good for anybody just to get their eyes off themselves and think, why has God put me here?
Mm-hmm.
He's put me here for a reason. So I want to focus in on relationships with people who are different. As you said, you feel like a minority as far as your belief. One of the holes in my friendship book that I wrote, Shauna, is any discussion of friendship with non-Christians. I don't feel like I'm very good at this, which is sad to say for somebody who is in church planting. But if I could go back and add any part of discussion to the book, it would be talking about how do we have friendships with people who believe different things than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would really like to talk to you about that because I think you're good at this. And I've been there. I've watched you. I've read your stuff. I follow you. And as a friend, I know this is something that you really are purposeful about. And so I would love for you to share how you've been intentional in building relationships with non-believers.
Yeah. And Christine, I'll be honest, what I'm incredibly good at is just neat and tidy and maintaining my comfort zone. I like easy. I like neutral. I like just being relaxing. I like to relax in a conversation where the stories are similar, the backgrounds are similar, and our worldviews are similar.
Yeah.
That is what I like. So anything outside of that, it's a stretch. It doesn't get easier for me. But I also think that some of us, we live in a culture, or we work in a culture, where those easy conversations just happen all the time. You know, I think about those of us that work on church staff, or we teach at a Christian school, or we work for a Christian ministry. We work in the home, we work for ourselves, and we're not in situations where we have those conversations.
Yeah.
So my intentionality really took form when we moved to San Francisco, because previously I was with Christians far more of my day than not. So being here, and you know, like I said earlier, I came face to face with who I am compared to the rest of my culture. And, you know, going back to our church planting journey, you know, just as we started our churches from scratch, in the beginning, we needed any warm-blooded body, right? We weren't picky. If someone was interested in helping our church get established, we invited them into our house to learn the vision and help with the launch team. And there was an array of prodigals and Christians and seekers and the curious and the skeptical. Plus, we needed friends. And we weren't looking for a certain kind of friend. It's not like we stood at the door and said, okay, you'll work. Oh, no, you can't come in. But I think that's what gets us in trouble when we think we can only be friends with certain types of people. And so the way I'm learning to do this, and I am still very much a work in progress, is I just start by not categorizing. Because everyone has a belief in something, and everyone is facing something hard. And so instead of, I think when we categorize, we think that's when those barriers come up.
Yeah.
But if we just stop and realize, hey, everyone believes in something, and then everyone is facing something hard, I think that just gives us a great starting place. And I know this is such a simple truth and a well-known scripture, but just the first phrase of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's where I start. That's how I start building my friendships and my relationships, because there's not one person walking through the streets of San Francisco that God doesn't love. Not one. So if I'm going to follow God throughout this city, then I'm going to love the people here. And the way I do it is with every person I encounter, realizing they're loved, they believe in something, and they're probably facing something hard. And who I'm learning to love and where I'm seeing more of God show up is in my relationships with people that aren't like me.
Mm.
I think another thing is I try to find common ground. So are we parents? Are we neighbors? Obviously, you know, if I'm in the city, we're obviously citizens. Are we customers at the same store? and then try to learn from those that I'm encountering, despite their religious affiliation. And then just start talking about that common ground, because common ground always leads to a wider pasture that you wouldn't see had you not started the introduction and established that common ground. So for parents, we immediately have something to talk about. So if I'm on the schoolyard or if I'm at the gym, automatically we have a common ground. For at the gym, we're obviously interested, at least for the day or for the moment, you know, in shedding a few pounds. But finding that common ground and then letting that lead to just a wider pasture of what else we could be able to talk about.
Mm. So for you, where are you meeting people usually?
So right now in this season of life, I'm meeting people at the gym. I'm meeting people on the schoolyard when I pick the kids up. I'm meeting people when I walk around my neighborhood. And this is something I unpack in my book, but in such a big city, I try to scale down and do life in just a few areas of town. So, you know, it's at my library, it's at our corner store, it's at the train station, where I'm just seeing familiar faces over and over again.
Mm, that's really good. So as you've, you know, let's talk in deeper relationships. If you have a fellow mom that is a non-believer and you're getting to know her, mm-hmm. more, what challenges have you faced as you've gotten deeper into those relationships?
Well, this is that clammy part of my faith where my hands get sweaty still. You know, I think the challenges are not knowing what to say or what to say. I think the challenges are also not knowing the answers, or the challenge of wanting to know the answers and not knowing them. But I think the biggest challenge is still this barrier that's still there. And that's that Jesus is a part of my life and that he's not a part of her life, because either she doesn't know or she's not interested. But, you know, barrier or no barrier, that still doesn't change the fact that I love them and I want to continue a relationship with them, because, you know, it was that barrier that was between me and God initially that he died for me. So that barrier was still there when Christ died. So I don't want to see that barrier that's between me and a friend, me believing and her not believing, to be what keeps me from being in a friendship with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a, you know, in the example that you gave, I have a school mom who we've gotten to know each other. We've that common ground, which led to a wider pasture. But then a moment came where she just frankly told me, I don't want to talk about faith anymore. So we don't. That doesn't mean that shuts me off and we can't be friends anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to continue to ask about her aging parents and how her son's doing now in middle school, even though we're both still at the elementary school. But we just don't talk about faith. But she knows. Mm-hmm. She knows that she can come and talk to me about anything.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that it's more difficult to have deeper conversation with non-Christians, or is it just...
Yeah, I do. But what I'm learning is that when I ask their story, when I ask their backstory, I'm beginning to learn a lot more of why they struggle to believe, or even the things that they think they believe in God that just aren't true. Mm. So I'm trying to ask more questions about their heritage, where they've come from. You know, I think a lot of, I'm thinking of several of my non-Christian friends who have grown up in war-torn countries, or they've grown up in a home that just wasn't a safe place to be. And I think as I begin to hear their stories, that gives me a better understanding of one, how to pray for them when I don't know the answers to say, but two, you know, so much of our culture, we're just not listening enough. So I think it just even says a whole lot for me to listen and for her to share her story, often a story that she hasn't shared in a very long time.
So how do you know how much to share of your own struggles and issues with a non-Christian friend?
You know, I have, I try to practice this, that everyone is worthy of our love, but I want to be worthy of their trust. So I think by just listening and continuing to show up, even if one day it's just a hi, how are you? And then maybe there's another day where it seems to go a little deeper than the day before. I think just continuing to show up lets them know that I can trust her. And I think longevity speaks a lot. And, you know, we've moved a lot in our ministry. And this is the first time we've lived someplace even more than 3 years. So I'm starting to see what longevity looks like and how it helps friendships. as far as going deeper and building that trust. But, you know, the friends I'm thinking of right now, we've been at the same school for almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that we're talking about now that we weren't talking about year one. And you know, I am sharing more of my story and hearing more of her story or their story, but they're, yeah, the level of which we're sharing things is because we continue to show up for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's a good word. What about surprises, like joys of getting to go deeper with non-believers? What have you found?
You know, the surprising thing is when the friendships that I'm pursuing, the surprising thing is when they come and pursue me. Mm. And, yeah, I'll just tell you a few quick stories of this, but there's a lady at the gym. She's probably my mom's age. And this past week, I'm on the treadmill and she's walking by and she's waving her National Geographic at me and it's got the picture of Jesus on it. And anyway, we eventually met back up and she's telling me that she's reading more about God through National Geographic because she's planning a trip to Israel next year with her husband. But it opened up. She knows what I believe. We've talked about that. She knows the church that I'm a part of. In fact, her grandkids have come to our church a time or two. But in the conversation, I got to share with her that Israel's on my bucket list, and I can't wait to see the things that I've been reading about in Scripture for so long. And so I asked her if she had a Bible, and she does. And I just challenged her to read the stories in the New Testament so that when she goes to Israel, they would come alive for her, something she's never thought of. So I was trying to get her to move from National Geographic, you know, facts about God to what the Bible says about God. We have our kindergarten teacher. So let's see, 5 years ago. So I've been in a relationship and friendship with her for that many years. And just over time, through little things, the way I look at it is not, it's not a monologue we give our friends, but it's a puzzle we're putting together just a few pieces at a time. So over the long term, and I see this puzzle coming together bit by bit, but our kindergarten teacher, she, through conversations with our kids, started sponsoring a child through Compassion International and through our church. And we have taken things to her child over in Africa, and I give her updates and we chit chat every now and then. And I've walked through a very difficult hardship with her when her husband passed away suddenly. I know when that happens every year, so we send flowers. But Easter Sunday, she came to our church.
Oh, wow.
And this was 6 years of inviting and investing and showing up on the good days and showing up on the hard days. And it was beautiful, Christine. And I am certain that God has his hand upon her life. And without me pulling out the four spiritual laws in her classroom in an afternoon, it's just our kids loving her and it's us loving her. And it's building that trust, because when we start loving, like I said, and it goes to that trust, it goes from that "for God so loved the world" to "for God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And so then I'm constantly figuring out, God, what is it of me that you want me to give away so that they see more of you?
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so encouraging. The story is great for her to be there. I'm so excited about that. But also, I love how you're talking about longevity. And that's something that I honestly have not had. And I think that's why I get discouraged and why I give up sometimes, is because I don't think of the long view. I think, oh, well, that conversation didn't go well. And then the next conversation didn't go well. And so maybe this isn't something that I really want to pursue. And that's not a good perspective to have. I love your perspective.
Yeah. And Christine, I think sometimes I get hung up on the conversation. And I think there's times where I'm like, okay, that didn't go well. So then I just step back and I say, you know, like my neighbor down the street, I step back and think, you know what? I know that she's working from home with a toddler. It's me knocking on the door and just saying, hey, I'm around this week. If you want to bring him over for me to keep him for a few hours so that you can get your work done, it's a whole lot easier for me to come alongside them and help in just practical ways than to think of what I need to say.
Yeah.
You know, this past week after our kindergarten teacher showed up for Easter, she hasn't been back since. And so I don't want to show up and say, hey, are you coming back? But I just showed up with her favorite cup of coffee and we sat down and we talked. And I asked about how she, the grieving process with her husband, so that I could help another friend of mine who's grieving with a loss.
Mm-hmm. That's so great.
Because it can't just be about converting people or sharing our faith. Right. There's so much more to it.
Yes, exactly. And that's such a great perspective that you're giving to us. What do you think, besides that, what I just described of having, a short-term view or maybe a smaller view of just, I just need to get to the conversation. What are some of the other self-made barriers you think we put in our own way when it comes to this?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think we tell ourselves that we have nothing in common, that we won't know what to say, that they're smarter than us, that they're going to resist our values, that they're going to say no. I think we wonder also what other people will think with us being friends with him or her. I think we think at times that we're superior to them because of what we believe, and God forgive us for those. But these are, you're right, these are self-made barriers. You know, God doesn't build, he doesn't build fences. He's all about tearing down these barriers and these walls that, you're right, that we ourselves, we put up. And like I said earlier, I think we build these barriers when we make it our goal to convert them. But when our goal is friendship, when our goal is learning from one another, that's when those barriers just start, you know, brick by brick to come apart. I think this is becoming more nationwide, but I know specifically in my culture, people are thrown off when I do an act of kindness, especially when I'm not expecting anything in return or when I do it even a second time. But I think another barrier that we don't talk often about, and that we use the fact or the excuse that we just don't have time. Because we've given all our time away at church, we've given all our time away to our family, or we've given it to all of the Christian circles that we're a part of, that we just don't have time for anyone else. And I think, again, I think that's something that's dangerous, because the church is the place where we bring our friends to, and it can't consume all of our time. The way we've decided to do this with our family, even since we moved here when they were really little, is that we build friendships together. So instead of seeing as this is family time and this is time in the community, this is family community time. So we are still in the practice of bringing school friends home from school. We bring singles and young adults and neighbors into our home, or we go out to dinner, or we go to the park, because this whole practice of loving people, it's not something that we prepare ourselves for to go to a mission trip and do, or it's something that we have to add to our calendar. Like, okay, we've got church stuff, we've got missional living stuff. No, it's just a part of who we are. Mm-hmm. We just work it into our days.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Great Commission, as you go.
Yes.
Yeah, as you go. That's so great. I love that. I love that, how you bring your kids into it. And I've seen that, you leading your kids in this, where it's just second nature to them, that this is what we do.
It's what we do. You know, I'll even tell you another story about one of our middle schoolers. He started a new school this year. And, you know, raising middle schoolers and high schoolers, they're having to learn their own culture and their community, because oftentimes, I don't know about your schools, I don't get into those schools like I can into our elementary schools. But one of our middle schoolers began a friendship, and his friend also came Easter Sunday.
That's so,
and it's not like this stuff is just happening all the time around here.
Yeah.
These are just two amazing God stories that we've seen. But yeah, his friend gave his life to Christ Easter.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to be baptized soon. And again, that is just our kids learning, hey, this is just who we are. Yeah. This is just who we are. He's going to go to Africa this summer, and he'll love people there. But it's not something that it's not just a mission trip kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice for people who are, it's funny that you brought up the busyness thing, because in my mind, I'm thinking that is my biggest self-made barrier.
Yeah.
Is busyness with church. So, and church people, and that's not bad, but
no.
What would be your advice for me and for others who are thinking, I want this more in my life, but I feel very, very busy.
You know, I think changing it up a bit. So if you're used to meeting, you know, with some girls on your church location, move to the park, move that conversation to the coffee shop, so that you're aware of who else is in your culture, who else is in your community. I think moving things into your home and away from a church setting, or you know, inviting people, ladies from your church, and then ladies from your neighborhood where they can meet up. I think it's very comfortable when we step into our church settings and Bible studies and that kind of thing. But just having that mindset of when you're going to the sports field or when you're going to the grocery store, it really is just praying about God giving you the eyes to see. Mm-hmm. It's not adding anything to your calendar. You know, you're already busy, right? You're already going to go to the grocery store. You're already going to go to these places. So it's just asking God to give you the eyes to see and then helping, and then yeah, just starting that introduction of, mm-hmm. Hi, how are you? And just looking for the conversations.
I love what you brought up about connecting women from your neighborhood with women from the church. I have found that to be one of the most helpful perspectives and ways that we can do this is to not think of ourselves as lone rangers, mm-hmm. that we're a part of a church community, and it's the church working together that, you know, they will know you by your love. And so how can you, something I've thought about is just bringing people into that community by, as you said, inviting somebody into our home from the church, but then also helping connect a non-believer in my neighborhood with those people. So it's not just me by myself is what I'm saying. It's we're working together to love and to serve. It's not just up to me and up to my Christian friends to do their things separately. Bring us into your neighborhood.
Yes. Yes. I love that, Christine, because the way you're seeing it, it's not like we all are only at church or that's the only time we get to sit and encourage one another. So when I'm at the ball field and I'm talking to a family, and it's so crazy that in a city of 850,000 people, I can sit with someone who knows someone else, but I can be sitting with a family and I'm referencing another family that they might know. And I'm not referencing them as, oh, those are people that go to our church. I'm referencing other Christians in the city.
Yeah.
Because that's what we are. We're not all people who go to this church. We're Christians in the city. Mm-hmm. And so if we are envisioning ourselves all spread out over the city, loving people well, then it is just a way of connecting and networking.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
So how can we best share Christ with others in an authentic relational way, but also not make the friendship turn weird immediately, which it's going to be weird, right? It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be weird. And, you know, I think even just having this conversation with you today, the more I'm just realizing, like, I really am not great at this, but I'm not going to stop. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to stop.
But do you think anybody feels great at it? I don't think anybody feels great at it.
Probably not.
No.
But I think people look like they're great at it.
Maybe so.
Maybe. But, you know, I think, you know, some of your best friendships, I even think of some things even that you and I have shared along the way, that friendships are quirky anyways. At least the deep ones are, right? The inside yeah. jokes we have, the journeying through hardships that we have, just sharing life. And, you know, I think friendships can be quirky and weird anyways. But, you know, like you said, if Christ is at the center of our lives and he's not at the center of our friends' lives, it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel strange. You know, there is still that barrier that's still there. But, you know, even when it's weird at times, it's hard, of course, but it's still worth it. But, you know, what makes it really weird is when we start this relationship or we start this friendship, and then when the gospel comes up or we're asked about our faith or what we believe, and then we bow out and don't show up anymore.
Hmm.
So I think in that moment where it gets weird or it feels awkward and we choose to push through with those clammy hands, stumbling through what we believe, and we still are there after we have voiced that, I think that's really where the breakthrough happens. And I think that's really where the trust happens. When someone is able to tell me, hey, here's what I believe, and it blows my mind because it doesn't line up at all with what I believe, and I stay there and listen.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, for someone who does not get at all that I would believe in one true God, and I stumble through my words and they're still sitting there when I'm done, that's when I think it starts getting really good.
Mm, that's really good.
People, so many people are coming to my mind in this conversation with you. But just this reminder that we need to be that open invitation and we need to be an open book, where for me, I want to be able to say, hey, come over whenever you want. Our doors are open. Come on over. And then ask me anything you want. And I think if we're just being completely open with our friends, then it allows us to share, hey, I'm still struggling with this, or I haven't figured this all out, but this is who God is to me.
Open doors, open invitation. You can ask anything you want. You can come over.
Come over whenever you want. Yeah.
That's really good. So what have you learned about friendship from your non-Christian friends?
You know, I have learned that this isn't a topic that we warm up to, but it's just a practice we have to start doing. Because my non-Christian friends, they aren't seeking a relationship with me because they want me to believe their religious beliefs. They're seeking a friendship with me because they want to be my friend, mm-hmm. because we have kids the same age, or we shop at the same store, or we're at the same library, or we live on the same street. They're not pursuing me in a way to convert me. So I think the same should be true for us. I should be seeking a relationship with them because they're my neighbor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For such a time as this, they're at our same school, that there's that common ground that God has given us, whether they see it or not. And that's what they've taught me.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Any last, just in general about friendship that you would say this is the key for me about friendship that I really learned. God has taught me this about friendship, whether it's non-Christian or Christian friendship. What would you say?
I see in pictures and I think about the prodigal son and the father. And I imagine that father went outside every day thinking, perhaps today's the day that he's going to come home. That he loved that son when he lived in the father's house, and he loved him when he was not there. And the way I see that, just as it affects friendship, is I want to have that same posture toward where I live and the people in my city, that I want to show up every day. Perhaps we'll have a conversation. Perhaps they'll come into my house. Perhaps I'll see them way down the road, but I want to keep showing up.
Yeah.
I want to keep showing up. Yeah. And I want the same for my non-Christian friends. Yeah. I want them to keep showing up.
That's so good. So helpful. I can't wait for your book to come out. Again, it's called Love Where You Live, How to Live Sent in the Place You Call Home. And I think it's going to be such a blessing to people. It was.
Thank you, Christine.
I got to read it ahead of time, and it was a reminder to me of why we moved to Charlottesville in the first mm-hmm. place. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're there.
So thank you for your time today, Shauna.
Thanks, Christine. This has been fun.
You will definitely want to go pre-order Shauna's book, which releases in January. In our conversation, we said it released in March, but it's really January. I've put a link to the book in my show notes, and I highly recommend that you grab yourself a copy. A few more things before you go, friends. Every Wednesday, the day after By Faith releases, I jump on Instagram stories to answer questions from the week's episode. What do you want to know or to talk about after listening to my conversation with Shauna? You can find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98 and let's chat. Also, if you're enjoying these conversations, I'd appreciate it if you would help me spread the word about By Faith. Leaving a review on iTunes really helps with that, but what helps even more is simply word of mouth. Let your friends know about this season while we're discussing friendship and invite them to come along with you on this journey. You can join me next week as I talk with Tilly Dillahay about envy and how it affects our friendships. Let me just tell you, this conversation wrecked me big time, and I'm going to share with you why next week. It is super convicting and eye-opening, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.